Welcome to the Natural Running Network. We are brought to you by Mio, makers of the world's first strapless heart rate monitor sports watches, and MedHab, makers of RPM Squared, an innovative system of gait analysis that slips right into your running shoes. My name is Richard Diaz. I am your host. Are you a runner? Do you love to get out and challenge yourself? Running your first marathon, or maybe caught the bug of obstacle racing? Well, sit tight, because this is a show you just don't want to miss. Good morning, everyone on the West Coast. It is Friday. It's a beautiful day here. I got to tell you, this is going to be one of the most interesting shows we have ever done, I believe. And before we get rolling here, because we've got lots to do, I want to make sure I get Vanessa on the horn. Hold on a sec.
Hi, Richard.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
So this is a pretty interesting topic.
Indeed.
So just kind of giving the broad stroke here. Well, you know what, Vanessa? This is your gift. I want you to do it. Let's give the world the broad stroke of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm really fascinated by this topic, and I suggested it just because I've seen it kind of floating around social media and Facebook. And although, well, okay, so the topic for the show is children who run. Essentially, we're going to be talking about children who run longer distances and endurance events, marathons and beyond, and what the implications really are to these children and their parents and their bodies physically. So we have a great lineup today. We have a pediatrician who's coming to as our medical expert to answer all our questions. We also have parents Seth and Sabrina Redden, who have two children, ages 8 and 11, who both have run ultra-distance events up to 100 miles, covering that extreme distance. So we're going to talk to them and just kind of get into the nitty-gritty of what this whole thing entails.
And I got to tell you, since you brought it up, and I've been, you know, trying to absorb this information and try to wrap my head around it and try to determine what my position is on all of this, I'm still kind of at a loss. I got to be honest with you. And I don't know what to think about it. I really don't. And I think part of the reason I don't know what to think about it is I have no reference. There's really very, very few points of reference in regard to whether it's a good or bad idea to have an 8-year-old girl run, you know, upwards of 100 miles on trails.
It's a very, very divisive issue among even, you know, people who are runners and do these events themselves. Some of them feel this is great. Others feel, you know, absolutely not. This is borderline child abuse. So we should have a really good debate going. I've had the privilege myself to see these kids run and other children complete events of this distance, and that's partly what really kind of fascinated me to explore a lot of these limits. And often when I've seen them, they had these huge smiles on their faces, and it's just kind of mind-boggling to me to really, as you said, put those two together and figure out where we should stand on this issue. So definitely a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, and again, I've been just kind of chewing on the whole idea, and I'm trying to think about the moment, what's happening with the kids in the moment, what the potential implications are down the road, some of the potential risks that are associated with it. It's just a lot to think about, and I'm very pleased to have Dr. Larry Faust, who is a board-certified pediatrician of 36 years of experience. He'll be calling in very soon, and he's from Clarksville, Tennessee. You know, I should tell you, I've already spoke to him, and just a wonderful guy to talk to and very knowledgeable. So he's absolutely going to be a go-to guy for, the professional view of things here. But from an emotional perspective, I just wonder, and I need to be careful how I put this out there, but, if you know me better, if it goes in my brain, it comes out my mouth. I wonder whether this is like Well, many times I've stood at the side of the soccer field and watched parents, me being one of them at one point in my life, screaming at kids to perform. And the kids, you know, doing whatever they can to try to please their parents. And I wonder, you know, I guess part of me wonders if that's some of it, if that's some of what's going on. But, you know, let's not speculate any longer. It looks to me like we have one of those parents online right now. I'm not sure which one it is yet. Lori should be posting some information here on my switchboard any second now. Let's see, who do we have? So anyway, I guess part of it, I guess it's Sabrina. But let's get her on. Let's not mess around. Let's just go ahead and get her on. Good morning, Sabrina. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
Sabrina, you're in Phoenix, Arizona?
Yes, I am.
And that's where you live?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. So, Sabrina, we've been speculating and trying to, you know, come up with some type of an opinion about all of this. And I just don't think it's fair for me to even go there without having a chance to listen to you and let you. I mean, I got to be honest. I went out and looked at your blog and I looked at some articles. I looked at the article that was written in Outside Magazine, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around all of this stuff because it's such an oddity. And I know you know that, and I know that you've probably had all sorts of either kudos or criticisms about what you're doing, what your family is doing. But clearly it becomes a function of, you know, you're living the life, you're dealing with it day to day. Kind of tell me what, give us first of all a broad stroke of what's going on with you guys right now.
Right now when it comes to running, we're trying to set up a race schedule. I just had to tell Tegan on the way to school this morning that one of the races she wants to do with the race director won't let her run. So we're kind of setting up our summer schedule, and with Seth and I now living separately, and we have our own race schedules. We're trying to kind of fit everything in and spend as much time in Silverton, Colorado as we can. So we're in the planning stages, I suppose, of our summer.
I see. It looks like we've got Seth on as well. So before we kind of get really into the meat and potatoes of things here, let me. I shouldn't have said that to a vegan, right? But let me go ahead and get Seth on the line as well.
Okay.
Good morning, Seth. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We have Sabrina on the line right now, and we have Vanessa Runs is on the line, my co-host. I'm Richard, and in stealth here in the background, we have Dr. Larry Faust, who is a board-certified pediatrician from Tennessee. We brought him on to just kind of get his take, and he was really, really curious to hear what you guys had to say about, you know, your experiences with your kids running and what have you. Where are you calling from, Seth?
I'm in Phoenix.
Okay, so you're in Phoenix as well.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So Sabrina was just getting ready to talk to us about the race schedule that you guys have planned and, you know, trying to get your schedules to coincide because apparently you're not living together at the moment. But I saw just little snippets of some information about you, and apparently you've got a background in biomechanics. Is that correct?
Yeah, my undergraduate degree was in physical anthropology, and I did do a little bit of study of biomechanics through that. I don't have a specific biomechanics background per se, but yes, I have had some exposure through my studies in physical anthropology.
Okay, cool. You know what, before we start, I think what I want to do, and I realize that, you know, we're going to have a lot of different voices going off here, so we'll try to allow everybody to get their piece and not get, you know, too much into other people's faces interrupting each other. But let me get Dr. Faust on as well because he's listening, and I'd like to have him have an open mic in the event that, you know, you spur a question and he wants to, you know, chime in. So let me get him on. Dr. Faust, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
We're very pleased to have you. I want to introduce you to first Vanessa Runs, my co-host and out of the house trail diva, and Sabrina.
Hi,
and Sabrina and Seth Redden are on the line as well.
Hello.
Okay, so we got everybody in the house now, so we can start this off. So going back to you, Sabrina, you were suggesting that you're trying to determine what the race schedules are going to look like for the near future. You want to go ahead and build on that?
I mean, it's just, it's a lot, you know, when you've got four pretty busy runners in a family, it's a lot to kind of put everything together and make sure that all the other children are being watched as well. It's just basically trying to figure out where everyone's going to be at all summer and what cool, crazy, fun stuff we're going to be able to do.
Okay, cool. So just a quick note, Sabrina, it sounds like your phone's cutting out a little bit.
Is it?
I don't, yeah, are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on Google Voice, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll do what we can to work with it.
You know, Richard,
go ahead.
I wanted to, maybe before we start, we'll get Seth to maybe just introduce us to his kids and just a brief synopsis of what sort of distances they've done and their ages.
Yeah, I can go ahead and step in on that. So just a real quick background on that. Taj is our oldest son. He just turned 11. He started running, I might get this wrong, but he started running a few years ago, kind of wanting to run with his mom and myself. And he started out doing a looped time race called Across the Years that's held here in Arizona. And he went out without really any expectations or anticipation of what he was going to do. And he ended up doing a 50K, I believe. And that kind of kicked off their interest in running. And the following summer, they did little races here and there. And then the following summer, we were up in Silverton, Colorado. And Taj was doing a looped timed race there again, too. And Tegan, his sister, she just turned 9. She wanted to throw on a bib and go do some loops too. So we were primarily focused on Taj and that race to get a goal. He wanted to get to, I think it was either a 50K or a marathon distance. And Tegan threw on a bib and was just going out and running with people and do a lap here, lap there. And then all of a sudden we realized that she had run, I think it was 20 miles at some point. And we're like, whoa, you know, where did this come from? And since she's kind of taken off as the one that's really a little bit more passionate about running and a little bit more into running, Taj is definitely into it, but sometimes he takes a break for a few months at a time. He is the one that kind of has the real desire and steadfast kind of mentality to keep going all the time on it. But the most recent stuff that they've done at the end of this last summer, the two of them and I ran a 50K in Oregon called SOB. And Tegan finished actually under the cutoff time for the race, which was 7.5 hours. Taj finished a little bit later, but they weren't hard on the cutoff, so everybody was allowed to finish. And then Tegan this last fall ran a 100K called the Javelina 100K, which is held in conjunction with the 100-mile race. She ran that with Sabrina. And I think they finished, she maybe can correct me on this, but it was high 26 or 28 hours on that race. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that they both did was, again, across the years, they actually held a six-day race. And both of them, over the course of the 6 days, ran 100 miles. And that pretty much brings us up. I don't think I missed any highlights there, but maybe Sabrina can jump in if I missed anything.
Our 7-year-old runs, but not distances at this point. The furthest he's gone is a half marathon. And then we have a 4-year-old who thinks that she runs Hard Rock every day. And we'll just run in circles and say she ran 50 miles or she ran Hard Rock. So they're up and coming, I would suppose, with their exposure to it, but they don't run the same sort of distances.
Yeah, it's interesting. Our 7-year-old is actually really, really fast. He'll get out there and sprint, and he can run as fast as his older siblings who are, you know, 2 and 4 years older than him, but he has no real desire to go and do any kind of distance stuff, which, you know, that's his thing. So, I mean, if he changes that, we'll be there to support him in it, and if he wants to go and, you know, run middle distance track, that's fine too.
So I got a question. There's a couple questions that I have that they're, again, trying to set this whole thing up. I keep reading that that you're living in a van. Is that correct, Sabrina?
We were living in a van over the summer. We chose to just get rid of everything that we had and hop in the van with all five of the children and have just an epic summer. We came back in August, though, and so we're currently living in homes. But the children are hoping that we can go back to living out of a van for the summer.
Okay. And I understand that you're vegan. So now, vegan meaning that you do not eat any meat product?
Anything that came from an animal, we do not eat.
Okay. Okay. And how's that working out?
It's wonderful.
I guess part, a little background on me just for grins here is I'm in the sports performance business. I do clinical diagnostics on athletes, and I coach athletes, and I've been doing this for quite a long time now. And one of the things that, you know, just is paramount in my mind when I think of these kids training, or you may correct me, but just reading what I've read so far, is that you don't really have any structured training for the kids. It's more like play. But come race day, for example, you suggested a 26-hour event for your, at the time, 8-year-old daughter. Nutritional concerns come into play. I concern myself with long-term ramifications I don't know. This is the kind of stuff, and I'm sure I'm not the first person that's come up with this, but I really, really wonder, almost to some point of concern, that these kids may be put in jeopardy.
Well, I have to say that the vegan aspect, I don't think plays into it whatsoever. I think Vanessa can attest to it. There are plenty of vegan ultra runners currently. I mean, it's kind of, I feel like, exploding a bit. It seems like everywhere you turn around, there's another vegan runner out there who's, questioning what food's at the aid station. So I don't know that the vegan plays into it.
I think it does. I really think it does, and I'll tell you why. Because I know many vegan ultramarathoners, but they didn't come up being vegan ultramarathoners. And in the course of their developing years, they weren't vegans. And I think it has huge implication in the way their bodies develop over time, especially being able to get a more complete protein into their system as they're developing. So, and at that point, just for the sake of getting rather than just my backyard opinion, let's bring Dr. Faust in just for a moment. I know he's listening. Dr. Faust, can you just kind of share your insights in respect to the whole nutritional component with this?
Sure. Yeah, I actually, I'm sorry, I've got a little bit of a sore throat. I have a lot of friends who are vegan runners, and there's not a lot of data on children, but certainly an appropriate vegan diet with a consult with a nutritionist is fine. You can get all the protein and nutrition that you need. That's actually certainly healthier than having the typical patient that I see who's eating Big Macs. Oops, I probably shouldn't, take a brand.
You can eat up McDonald's all day.
Okay. I see a lot of obesity in my practice and type 2 diabetes. And when I started practice, type 2 diabetes was unheard of in children. And, kids eat basically burger doodle, junk food a lot, and I'd much rather have a patient on a vegan diet, actually, as long as they're following an appropriate diet with a nutritionist, and you can certainly get the calories and protein that you need. The biggest concern though, that I would have is with extensive exercise, you know, where you're, children have, compared to adults, children have a body surface area that is different relative to an adult's body mass. So children lose more heat on a cold day, and they absorb more radiant heat on a hot day. So they're very, very susceptible to heat stroke on a hot day or hypothermia on a cold day, just because of the difference between body surface area and body mass in children. So with exercise, that's one of the things that we see a lot is lack of appropriate fluids, and children sweat differently. They're basically, kids are not just small adults. And one of the big issues that I see is heat stroke or hypothermia from any prolonged outside exposure. And I think people tend to think, you know, in terms of, well, kids are small adults, so, you know, we'll proportion their fluids and their calorie intake during exercise like we would an adult, and that just doesn't work.
No, I would agree. This is Seth. I would agree with that. We have definitely kept track as they started running and increasing their distances. I've mentioned a lot of these loop time courses that they've been doing. You know, we're keeping regular tabs on these guys. You know, if we're not running with them, we're keeping tabs on them, you know, as far as when they're on these loop courses. We see them every few minutes, you know, so it's definitely something where we have learned as we've gone and been absolutely overly cautious with maintaining, you know, their body temperature, their nutrition, their hydration, all of these things. It's absolutely accurate, in my opinion, to say that they are not just small adults and you can't take lessons learned personally and apply them just to the kids, you know. We have to actually watch them and maintain them and keep tabs on them as they've been running. We don't let them go off and run, you know, a 26-hour race and see them every 4 hours. It's something where we've definitely kept very close tabs on them during that time.
What keeps them motivated?
Well, I think that's different. No, I think that's different for each of our children. But with Tegan, she is very much, she wants to do well at everything she does. And so she will ask for the records of other kids that have run, and she wants to beat those records. And she wants to go out there on a course that's crazy, and it seems like she shouldn't be there, and she wants to do it. And for her, it is all about taking a challenge and finishing it. With Taj, it's a little more, you know, he wants to play Minecraft and read all day, and so he'll pick a race and say, all right, if I run this race, can I play Minecraft a little longer? So he kind of tries to weasel it, but when we're, Seth or I are usually running with them. The only time that we're not is if it is a one-mile loop course. We do let them go out with other adults, but the interesting part about running with kids is they want to talk almost the entire time. They have everything to tell you, and they have you one-on-one, basically. So the conversations, I've said it, I mean, I don't know how many times, but the conversations I have with my children on a run are the most amazing because there's no distraction. So for them, it's also this great, like, I've got my mom, I've got my dad, just one-on-one, and I'll just keep running because we're talking and having a great time. So they each have their own selling points to them for why they choose to run, but I think a lot of it has to do with just a mental drive, I suppose, to, you know, do what the adults around them are doing as well.
I just have, what I'm trying to understand, and this is where I get stuck, is I work with young cross-country runners, you know, high school athletes. And I've actually worked with some younger kids playing soccer, you know, and I think one of my youngest kids that I worked with is probably about 8 years old. And it's an interesting experience for me as a coach to work with kids that are that young, because It's just a whole nother avenue because they don't have the experience that an adult has. If I suggested to an adult we're going to do X, they may look into their history and say, oh, that sucks, that's going to hurt, I don't want to do that, and they already start to develop an opinion about it. Where with kids, they don't even know what that means. If I suggest we're going to run 10 miles, they have no history of what 10 miles is going to feel like, so they don't have an opinion. They just, well, whatever, you know, and they're just going to do it. And then until they get involved in it, where they start to experience discomfort or what have you, is where they might come up and start complaining and decide that they don't like the idea so much after all. But I'm just trying to find out, getting back to the little older kids, cross-country runners that I work with, the notion of running a half marathon is not even on their radar. 3 miles is it. 3 miles, maybe 6 miles slow in a training run is it. They can't wrap their head around. Generally, you don't see kids over 18 years old even participate in a marathon. I think this is probably why we're all kind of sitting here guessing this, because there's really not much out there in the way of data to draw from to have an opinion about it one way or the other. So you guys might be spot on, and the kids are doing exactly what their DNA provides for them. And it's just so foreign to us, it makes it very hard for us to wrap our heads around it. And, you know, you live it every day, so it's commonplace, but I bet you guys get beat down quite a lot when people hear that you have your kid running 30, 40 miles. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
I think it depends. Largely what I see is people who we encounter in races, you know, people that we encounter out there on the trails. You know, if something happens on a message board or on Facebook and it's like, oh, you know, congratulations, you know, Tegan, you know, somebody will post on there, hey, this little girl did 100K. You get a mix. You get people who come in there and say, oh, you know, and some people are just very genuinely questioning, you know, I wonder what the long-term consequences of this are, or I wonder this, you know, I wonder X, I wonder Y. And then you get people who they know, who they've shared miles with, who come on and sometimes Rena and I don't even have to get involved. You get these people on there who have run with them, and they so passionately defend what these kids do, and they come there and they say, this little girl smiles for 26 hours when she's running this race because she so thoroughly enjoys doing this, you know? And there are high points and low points, obviously, but people who have first-hand experience with my kids very, very rarely, you know, show any kind of hostility toward what they're doing. It's usually the people who come on and say, you know, I don't know, maybe, and you know, you do get some people that get on there and they get a little bit out of line as far as, you know, for instance, allegations or something else out there, but, you know, for the most part, the people who have seen them are fully supportive of it, and they come on and they'll defend us and defend the kids and what they're doing.
We do see that, but the people that get very, very angry, what I find, is that they get, you know, a 3 mile wall, right, and they can't pass 2 miles. You know, they're the people, I feel like, who think about, they can't conceptualize this distance, and that's the thing, you know, I think high school French to get half marathon is out there. But for our children, because it's been such a part of their life, it's so ingrained in them. They know what 10 miles feels like. They know what 20 miles feels like. And they know that it's going to suck sometimes, and it's not going to be fun in the moment. If you bonk, it's not going to be fun. But the difference between our children, I think, and a child that just goes out there and tries to do it is our kids go, I know that this is a rough patch, and I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop because I have this rough patch. I'm going to get through it because I can stop and it'll get better. Or I can keep going, and it'll get better. So because of their experiences that they've had, slowly gaining miles and doing longer races, they understand that it's not the pain that you feel at some point in a race is it forever, and that you can move forward and keep going and accomplish your goal. So I think that's because it's been such a slow process for them, it's much easier for them in their head to conceptualize.
Well, I think, you know, what you said is something, you know, I'm a big proponent of exercise in children, and I really talk to parents all the time about get out and do things with your kids, because it should be about, exercise should be about fun, And that the biggest problem that I see in my practice is children that get emotional burnout because they're pushed into doing something because it's what dad or mom wants them to do. So it should be about fun. And if they're smiling and enjoying themselves, that's very important. Because kids need to, you know, if something hurts, they need to stop because, you know, girls cross country is actually the number one cause of injuries in high school, as far as sports injuries. I mean, not car wrecks, but and the big problem, and you know, there's just not enough literature out there on long distance running in children. But the concern that most people have, the American Academy of Pediatrics, Committee on Sports Medicine, and the International Marathon Medical Directors Association really recommends no one run a marathon under 17 or 18 years of age. And that's because the growth plates are still developing in kids. That's the area near the joints where the bone grows. And the other thing is that that bone growth and muscle tendon growth is very asynchronous. Bones grow faster than muscles and tendons, so you get an abnormal pull. And I see just a lot of children with Osgood-Swadder's disease or Severe's disease, which Severe's disease is injury and pain in the heel because of inflammation and swelling of the growth plate in the heel. And Osgood-Swadder is knee pain, and that's because where the tendons attach to the bone's growing faster and the tendons are relatively shorter. And so that causes a lot of bone and tendon pain and injury that long-term can be an issue.
And that's something that starts to show up as they get into their teens. Isn't that right, Doc?
Yeah. I mean, it's not uncommon during track season for me to have two or three teenagers, girls more than boys, just because of difference in the bone structure, who come in and their chief complaint is knee pain. And I can pretty much just walk in the room without doing an exam and see swelling just below the kneecap and say, I bet it hurts right here. And I know exactly what's going on.
I've had a lot of kids come in with Osgood-Swadder's that were playing soccer. Some of them basketball players, typically the basketball players, they're playing basketball because they just tend to be a little tall, and that seems to be the sport of choice for them. But suffering terribly with this Osgood-Swadder's because, and they do grow out of it, generally, I find. But I wonder, is that a concern that may manifest later on because of the amount of work that they're doing early?
It can be. Generally, you're right. The treatment is pretty much just, well, you know, let's rest the joints and let's let growth catch up. And what I guess I'm concerned about was the statement, well, you know, if it hurts, you just push through the pain. And that's how people get permanent injury.
If you don't mind, let me show this up. And I am familiar with the University of Washington study that discusses girls' cross-country injuries. And I'd be interested to hear Dr. Foss take on this, because from what I can see is that, you know, these are temporary setbacks primarily, you know, of course, unless you're pushing through to the point of serious injury, is that it's, you know, related to growth, and, you know, as muscles and tendons start to catch up with bone growth, that it's usually just something that shows up temporarily. And I don't mean to speak for Sabrina, but I have been through this with the kids and been there when Sabrina's been running with them. The pain that we're talking about is primarily not, you know, skeletal muscular injury type pain. It's usually like, oh, you know, my stomach hurts or something. You know, it's usually more related to calorie intake or something like that. We're not asking them or encouraging them to push through something like a knee that's starting to swell or you know, a rolled ankle that, you know, if you just push through it, you know, you'll start to the pain will start to ebb some. So, you know, I definitely can appreciate, you know, the study and what Dr. Fox is saying when we're, you know, keeping an eye on those kinds of things. As we're growing, you know, we understand that there will be plateaus for them where they are going to need to kind of take a step back as their bodies catch up with their, you know, the other parts of their bodies as they're growing.
Vanessa, are you developing any thoughts back there?
Yeah, you know, there's just so much to talk about, but I do have a question that came to us from Facebook. And this is from a mother who has two children of her own, 10 and 8 years old, who are both very athletic. She describes them as very driven and involved in sports. But she wants to know if there's something in the training of ultras that might interfere with peer or social relationships. And maybe the parents can answer that question.
Well, their training isn't intense. They're training for a specific race. It's, you know, spend time. But overall, they, you know, they'll spend an hour running a day, if that, if when they're training. So they do go to school time and, you know, see their friends. But basically our running is our family time. So it doesn't really interfere, I don't believe at all, with their friends or having play dates. I mean, they're both very social and they spend a lot of time with their friends. So, it doesn't any more than any other extracurricular activity does.
So I got this has been a question I had while we're having this conversation. Let's say that you parents, Sabrina and Seth, decide, you know what, I'm really not into running anymore. I've been doing it. You know, I just don't want to do this anymore. And you took up bowling, for example. Do you think your kids would all of a sudden become bowlers, or do you think they're going to say, well, you know, you guys bowl if you want to, but I'm really wrapped up in this running. I'm going to continue to run?
I can tell you, I know Tegan has high aspirations for her running. She wants to go, her part of my family lives in New Zealand, and she's actually a New Zealand citizen. She was born there. She has high aspirations once she's, you know, gets to that age and is allowed to run Northburn in New Zealand, which is a Hard Rock qualifier. So she's a ways away. She's only about halfway to in age to being able to even run Hard Rock. You know, and I don't disregard the affinity they have toward running. Largely comes from the fact that, you know, they have parents to run. But, you know, that happens. You know, kids see the things that adults are doing, and I think that only goes so far as exposing them to it, you know, but they will only really develop that love for that activity if, you know, if they're into it themselves. Now, Todd, on the other hand, you know, if we never stepped out onto a trail again, he might not. He might not ever say, I really miss, you know, this. I'd like to go run, you know, this 50K. You know, he'll still run and hike. He's more of a hiker than anything. But, you know, Tegan, I can say, she, you know, even if we took a step back and we weren't competing or training, she would still be one that would want to seek that out.
So you don't think that the majority of their desire to run stems from them just really wanting to get close to their parents and feeling like, you know, that's their connection to being able to be more with you. Maybe that.
No, I do think that they enjoy that time with us. But honestly, I've spent time running with Tegan where she'll sweat out on me and go and run with, you know, some other kids that are out running on a, you know, 1 mile loop course or jump in with another adult. I think she very, very strongly values the social ties that exist in ultra running and trail running. And I think that transcends her parents. I think that, again, you know, us being into it exposed her to it, but I think she's found a love for that sport now. And, you know, if we picked up bowling and she was like, hey, you know, it's fun if we all go bowling, but, yeah, you know, I'm not going to seek that out on my own. She actually seeks it out separate from us. That being said, she still does value that time that we spend together when we're out on the trail, you know, but she she does that beyond just being her mom.
Sabrina?
Yeah, I think that anything that a kid begins to enjoy is started usually by a parent. It's usually signing them up for a class or putting them in a club, and they find what they truly love. And especially with ultra running, you can't force them to do it. There's no way that you can force a kid to run 100K unless they truly want it. Part of the reason she runs some races that she runs is because she knows her adult friends are going to be there, and she wants to go run with them, or some of her kid friends. So she wants to spend time with these people as well. She's very much a social runner. She loves to catch up to somebody and just keep her pace. And it really, my feelings get hurt. Maybe it does me too, but she will ditch us to go run with someone else because she wants to talk to them. So, although we started it and we are ingrained in the running community, it's a big part of our lives, she especially has found her own love in running, and it's her thing right now, I suppose. I mean, it might not stay that way, but honestly, I think people do think, is she going to burn out? If she does, she'll find something new. But right now, this is what she wants to do.
You know, Richard, I actually have a question for the doctor. I know that when I personally run, say, like a fast 5K, I'm usually hurting more the next day than if I had run just a really slow 50K at a leisurely pace. And I'm wondering, is it possible that longer distances could be less strenuous on a child's body at a lower intensity?
That's possible. The problem is that there's just not a lot of literature. Long distance running in children is rare, and so it's, you know, I really looked at all the data again before this podcast, and there's just not much out there. The Academy of Pediatric Sports Medicine and everybody, the guidelines say between 8, 9, and 11, children shouldn't do more than a 5K, from 12 to 14 to 10K, a half marathon from 15 to 17, and then above 17 marathon. But some of that is just because there's not enough data to know. There's certainly, you know, the emotional burnout, the ability to focus. You know, I'm a marathon runner, but I'm a social runner, like everybody was just talking about. If I ran a marathon and ran by myself, I'd probably stop at about 6 miles and go to the car because, you know, I enjoy running and talking to my friends. And my son and my grandson run, but we're all social runners. You know, we're not worried about time, and we're not worried about getting the T-shirt or the finisher's medal. We're just out there having fun. And I think that's the key for children, is that exercise needs to be fun. They don't need to be doing it because someone wants them to do it, or someone else's expectations. And if they're having fun and enjoying themselves, that to me is really the key, because that establishes the lifelong habits of exercise, whether it's hiking or cycling or, you know, anything like that. And that's a rambling answer that didn't answer your question, because I don't think there's an answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just echoing what Dr. Foss just said, there is a void, unfortunately, of research. I hide as much as I can, you know, to try and find something that says, you know, this is, you know, green light or red light, but there's just nothing out there, because not that many kids do it. I think we know, between being at races and hearing, you know, other people who have gone to the races and seen kids out there, the only people that are doing these kinds of distances are, you know, I think I can count on one hand the number of kids between, you know, 8 and 14 that are out there doing this kind of stuff, and we know most of them. anecdotally speaking, I can tell you that watching them, you know, I'll go and run, you know, whatever distance, and I'm laid up almost, you know, I'm hobbling for 3 or 4 days. Tegan and Taj will go out and they'll run a 50K or maybe even longer, you know, depending on what race they're doing. And as soon as they step off the track or off the course or off, you know, the trail, it's like it never happened. You know, I keep an eye on swelling. I keep an eye on their joints. I keep an eye on everything that I can. And the next day, you would never be able to tell that they've spent the last, you know, 7 or 12 or 24 hours running. It's not perfect, you know, evidence to support it because there could, you know, it's hard to say, you know, anecdotally that it's fine, but I haven't seen any warning signs based on, you know, looking at them even a few hours after they finished the race.
I would suspect that it may be that they're listening to their bodies because that's the key. If I run a 5K just all out, I agree, I'm sore the next day because but if I do a half marathon at a slower pace and I'm having fun and talking to my friends, I'm not sore. And I think I think they're maybe just intuitively listening to their body, and they know when to speed up and when to slow down.
Yeah, and I forgot to throw in there before, most of these timed races that they run, and even the 100K that Tegan ran, they sleep. They take breaks. You know, she wasn't running for 28 hours. She had, I think it was 6 or 8 hours of sleep in there. And then these timed races, they're sleeping during those. The only exception to that is the 50K that we ran at the end of July, I believe it was where they actually ran through. And Tegan again, she finished, I think it was like 7 hours and 20-something minutes, and then Taj was, I think, maybe half an hour after her.
It sounds to me like you've been very, very careful and very observing in respect to their experience with all of this, and, you know, I commend you for that. It doesn't sound to me like you're just irresponsible about the approach to it, but I still have to ask, I mean, do you anywhere in your mind, and this is kind of an open question for both of you, do you ever have a thought of that you're gambling? This, you know, because of this experience and just kind of letting them go with it and encouraging it, do you feel somewhere in the back of your mind that you might be gambling a little bit with their future and their health?
I don't have any great concerns there. I'll give you an example. So my 4-year-old daughter has started doing gymnastics. She started 6 months ago. She's already been flagged by the coaches there as somebody that they're very interested in as far as getting her into more classes, getting her into the pre-competition teams and that kind of thing. When I think about my daughter over the next 10 years in gymnastics, you know, she's 4 now, I don't sit back and wonder if she'll get hurt. I wonder when I'm going to get the call that she fell off of the high beam or she fell off of a balance beam or whatever, you know. Nothing in life is risk-free, and I don't mean to throw that out there haphazardly, because if I knew that there was something in this running that was going to severely damage them for the rest of their life, or even not even severely, but, you know, something that could cause them problems that they're going to have to face for the rest of their life, I would take serious thought on whether, you know, we pursue that. You know, I'll let Serena jump in and say anything she wants to hear, but, you know, when we talk about gymnastics or soccer or any sport, none of these are risk-free.
Right.
Well, and I definitely agree. I mean, we take risks every day. We are some of the most neurotic parents you will meet. Taj has just turned 11 and is still in a booster seat in the car. Tegan is still in a 5-point harness, and she's 9. You know, and the rest of them are, too. Like, we research everything that we do with our children, and we make sure that we are well-educated. And even so, we understand that everything has risks. I agree with Beth on the gymnastics. I am slightly uncomfortable with how well our daughter is doing at gymnastics at 4. It's a scary thought to me when I look at my friends' children that are gymnasts and are in a cast all the time or injured, or it makes me nervous. But it's something that she loves, so she's going to do it, and we're going to do our best to make it as safe as possible, but safe in quotes. So, and that's what we do with the running. We do our best to make sure that we have a good handle on it and we know the choices that we're making, and we are as neurotic as we can be. And, you know, it's just another a risk that we're taking, but I don't think that you can stay away from risk. And I think that the benefit that our children are getting out of it is important. I think that the social interaction with all of their running friends and the relationships there are so important for their lives. So I definitely see that them enjoying it and, you know, what they're getting out of it. And there's nothing compelling saying they shouldn't be doing it. So I think that we understand that there may be possibly long-term things, but it's not overexceeding, I suppose.
Right. Sabrina, I have a caller that wants to ask a few questions or make a comment. Let me just kind of get around real quick, because we're running about, we got about 6 or 7 more minutes. Hold on a sec, okay?
Hi.
Hello, Katie, you had a question?
Hi, yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. This is a really compelling conversation to me as a parent of 2 kids, 8 and 11. I just really want to congratulate you guys for listening to your kids and really observing what their interests are and their needs. I mean, I think that anyone who's critical of kids wanting to run long distance, I think it sort of reeks to me of, you know, people being cautious about women running marathons back in the 50s or women, you know, not being able to participate in the Olympics and ski, you know, it's like, we don't know enough about it, so we think it's going to be bad for them, when everything that these parents are saying is that the children enjoy it. And I think that the idea of, you know, things have to be fun, and if they're not fun, you know, kids will start to resent it or whatever. What's going on in school every day? Kids are not having, you know, fun all the time in school. They're learning, they're exploring, they're taking risks, and I think that to an extent, that's a good thing. So I want to congratulate you, and I think that it's wonderful to see the possibility that children will start looking at long-distance runners who are young and say, oh, there's something in that for me. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you're clearly pioneers. There, that's no question. I mean, it's like somebody's got to step outside the box to find out whether it's going to be nirvana or hell, right? I mean, you guys have done it. So I guess part of me would be thinking, and I'm a parent, you know, my son is grown now, but part of me would be thinking, I don't know enough about this to know whether it's a good idea or not. And, you know, let somebody else do it so that, you know, I can learn from them. Where you guys are definitely outside the box, and you're in it. You're going to find out one way or the other what's a great idea or not. Sounds to me like you're covering all your bases. Sounds to me like your kids are enjoying it. Doesn't sound like they're under any duress. So, you know, I'd have to give it a 4 thumbs up. I mean, in retrospect, I didn't know that I would say this, but it sounds to me like so far you're being very cautious and careful and protective of your children. So, I'm going to definitely pay attention to it to see how it all shakes out. Any parting thoughts, Dr. Faust?
No, I actually agree. I really like everything that you all have said, because that is something that I really stress with my patients and my parents. That you need to exercise. You need to get out. You need to not spend all day playing video games. But it needs to be fun, and it needs to be something you enjoy, and exercise should be social. So, because it was that for my family. My son and I biked, and we ran, and we hiked, and, and then my grandson now is doing the same thing. He enjoys getting out, running, and hiking, playing outside. So I just want to commend you for that and for listening to your kids. And it sounds like, you know, it's something that they enjoy doing. And it sounds like you're monitoring, you know, you're monitoring and you're letting them listen to their bodies, and if they have aches and pains, you're not pushing them to run through it.
Vanessa, any parting thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to quickly call out for any parents out there who have children who enjoy running. There are so many great programs out there that are a lot, you know, less extreme than what we've been talking about here, but things like Girls on the Run and the 100 Mile Club that help introduce kids to the joy of running and really kind of what their feet and teach them about their bodies. So those are all really great, well-monitored and safe places to start.
You know, since you brought that up, Rod Dixon, we did an interview with him some time back. He's back in the day was a great, great world champion Olympic runner. And he currently is running a national program to get kids involved in running, and he's very passionate about that. So if someone wants to pull up some information about Rod Dixon, you might find some programs that are in the area that he's involved. He's trying to get it into the school system, and it's a big push for him. But let's see. Seth and Sabrina, why don't you give it – I'm going to give you the stage for the final thoughts here.
Touch on what joy of running. I mean, running is just fun. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be fun. And you see it. Anytime you watch a kid start to run, they smile. It is their happy place. So I do encourage parents, I think, out there with your children, the experiences to share. And the things your child will share with you are so important. It doesn't have to be an old stuff. It can be a couple miles. But that time is so important. And that time is so much bigger than, you know, them talking to you while you're cooking dinner or while you're distracted on the computer. If you get outside with your children and you spend that time with them, it's going to benefit your relationship amazingly. And your children are going to be so much happier. So I think I would love to see more parents out on the trails with their kids. Not so much, but really enjoying being outside.
Seth?
Yeah, no, I just want to echo, you know, what Spring is saying right there. You know, some of the best times I've had with the kids is out, you know, running with them or hiking with them or anything, you know, and you can find your trail anywhere. It doesn't need to be in a 50K. It doesn't need to be any of these other things that are scary, but, you know, it can be just out, you know, you go on a walk around the block, you know, and you don't have other things to worry about. You just have to, you know, you just get to enjoy each other's company and you get to know them. And we have a lot of kids. So this is an opportunity for us to get one-on-one or two-on-one with some of them, you know, and they can really have a good time and talk to us, you know. It's too easy to get lost in that day-to-day and not spend quality time with them, you know, or you spend a few minutes here while you're cooking dinner talking to them about their homework, you know. Just you know, and Dr. Foss talked about it with you know, obesity or type 2 diabetes or anything, you know, we too often shy away from things that seem physically hard because we have those roadblocks, you know. We talked about, you know, not having a frame of reference for what 10 miles means for a kid or something like that. You know, our kids grew up or growing up with their parents and friends around them that run 50 or 100 miles. So I came back from a 50-mile race once, and kids asked, like, oh, what race did you run? I told them, and I said, it was a 50-mile race. And they're like, oh, that's all? You know, so, I mean, it's a frame of reference. It's quality time with them, you know, and getting outside, and that's all great.
Well, listen, folks, I think it was a fascinating conversation, and Sabrina and Seth, I wish you and your children the very best. And I'll be making a point to keep an eye on your affairs moving forward and see how things shake out. But I wish you the best of luck. Dr. Faust, thank you so much for coming on the show and offering your professional insights. And Vanessa, it was an amazing show. I'm glad you brought it to us. I guess it's time for us to shut it down. Katie, thank you for coming on the show, by the way.
Oh,
absolutely. It's a pleasure to be able to comment. Thanks.
No worries. That's what we're here for. So listen, everybody have a tremendous weekend. I am going to close the show. Thank you so much. Well, friends, it's time to bring another show to a close. Be sure and tune in to us next week. We've got a lot of great content in store for you. I want you to tell your friends to check us out. You can always find us on Facebook. Simply go search the Natural Running Network. Drop us a message. I'd love to learn more about you and the things you do. And until then, you have an amazing day.